The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am your host, and I can totally see that the recording needs to be changed because I didn't want to share all the responsibility of being a wild woman all by myself. So I actually got a really cool dude by the name of C.W. Wright, who's vice president in the Republican, partner with me in a lot of the humanitarian missions that we're up to on this planet, and I love this dude. So C.W. Wright, you should give him good weight. I've been around on the radio longer than he has. However, he's been around on the planet doing good deeds. He's the official good fairy, but C.W., I cannot visualize you in tights.
Visualize me in tights, did you say?
Well, I promised you I would shock you. Yeah, the good fairy is supposed to wear tights or something, and I just can't imagine it. Sorry.
I don't think they make enough spandex.
Well, you know, we're laughing right now, but we're laughing because I'm crying, you know. Yeah. We got a radio dialogue today that matters to me, and when I put in the title for the show of Catching Fire, because I'm just finished Suzanne Collins' trilogy, CW, it was just like, I don't feel like I'm catching fire. I feel like I'm crawling in the mud, you know. It's just like sometimes just being a human here on this planet at this particular time. I mean, in our days, have we ever had more block channels or tunnels? And I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about as human beings. It's like every place we turn, I went and bought shampoo, CW, and conditioner, and I had it shipped in. I get it through Vitacost. I love those dudes. They give you free shipping and stuff like that. I just love these guys. They make it possible. When you don't have enough gasoline to go out, and Vitacost.com actually pays your postage over $50, and then they give you good prices. So I ordered my normal hair product, which is Emerald Forest, by the way, just terrific stuff. Makes your hair thicker and richer and all that kind of good stuff. What happens is when the bottles come, one of them is the old bottle. Like the shampoo, it actually comes in what the bottle size used to be, which was 12 ounces. And then I'm holding in my right hand the shrunken bottle, one that's got the conditioner in it. And now they don't change the price. They just change the price of the bottle. So we're all going to have to buy glasses for sure to keep up with what's shrinking here. But mostly I'm hearing horrible things that I'm just extremely, you know, upset about. And we were talking before the show started, and I said, let's just save it for the air. And then I had heard that H.R. 347 makes it illegal to protest in the presence of a president, and the new law was signed into office last week, and I'm just like horrified because I understand that this thing was approved by both houses of Congress. That is not okay. That's like, if anybody, CW, goes to the elections this year and thinks they are voting for something to change in America when you've got both houses of Congress overwhelmingly passing H.R. 347, and then having the president sign it in, and it basically says you can't disagree with him if Secret Service is around. I mean, that makes me bloody crazy.
Well, it should make you angry. It should even make you more angry that it wasn't a joint bill. It was a House bill. That's what H.R. is, House Resolution. Had it been a joint bill, it would have been an H.J.R. bill.
Huh. Well, how can they just do? I thought you had to have both houses to approve.
Not necessarily. It will. The House will prove it. Then it'll probably get kicked up to the Senate.
He signed it. It's in office, buddy. It's an.
Well,
it's a law now.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
But you also remember. Let's not forget. This bill isn't something brand spanking new. Bush put this in, and all they did was tweak it a little bit, is what Obama did.
Well, they tweaked it into a felony, man.
It was a felony before.
What did they change? Why do I just know about it now? I mean, this is horrible.
Here's the big change. Here's the big change. Let me tell you. The old bill stated that it could be a felony if you knowingly and willingly proceeded into that area that the Secret Service claims off limits and do your protest. Now, they took out the words willingly, which makes it a tighter and makes it easier for prosecutors to make it stick. So you have, so instead of saying knowingly and willingly, see, it doesn't say knowingly or willingly. It said knowingly, they had to prove, the prosecutors before had to prove knowing and willingly.
What are they now talking about? They're talking about, what is it, you know, when you plan a murder before the murder, well, I can't even think of it.
It's premeditated, and I'm going
through trying to plan, premeditation. But here's the deal. To me, it's a moot point. It's against the Constitution, unless we have no Constitution. So if we vote for any of the, and I love Dennis Kucinich, and I want you to hear that, Dennis Kucinich. I don't know how you stood up with these people on your vegan diet. They're crazy. Okay, I respect Dennis Kucinich. There's about four of them I do. What I will tell you is how they even survive in this atmosphere, because this stuff is approved of. This 115 executive orders that we talked about, CW, that Barack Obama has signed into office in his few brief years when Roosevelt put in 11. This kind of stuff goes by without Congress doing anything. So any person that's listening to this program that walks away from this program with the idea that if you vote in the de facto election in any way, shape, or form this year, you haven't voted for anything other than more of what we're getting. That's my rant. That's rant number one, okay?
Is there anything else? Are you done yet?
I'm not. Well, you know Jerry Weaver, our dear friend Jerry Weaver?
Yes.
She sent me this thing. I've been on a yo-yo today. It's either like I'm so like cross-eyed that I can't believe that they think they can get away with this crap without anybody noticing, to then Jerry Weaver sends a video. And the video, I've got a copy of it for anybody that wants it, by the way. Just send us an email at val@wakinginupinamerica.com, and I'll pop the video off to you. Thing had me bawling, okay? It starts out with these people saying that they're missing you, okay? That they're missing you. Well, you don't know who it is in the beginning, who's missing who. And then it goes, your brother, your sister, and it goes through, and it's all these different military people that their children, their grandparents, or, you know, just all kinds of people that have gone off to war to give us the right to stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance and to have freedom of speech. That's what these people did. Then, and this is only like a 5-minute video, but boy, did I run through the field on it, CW.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, God. Because then they started showing, they didn't show like mutilated bodies or anything. Thank you so much for that, because that just, I can't do that either anymore. It's just so painful. It's like scraping on the sidewalk on your knees, you know, getting your skin taken off watching this stuff. And then you have ones that actually come home and they get back with their kids and stuff like that. And then you have the ones they bury and what that's like and what the families are like. And what's so important now as we catch fire, CW, is that we remember the cost of war, whatever that is, you know? You know, what I think is the most amazing thing about what we're doing in the Republic is we don't have to bleed anymore. You know what we're doing in a way? We're actually giving the de facto a lot of paper cuts. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
I do.
Why don't you tell our listeners, because I don't know if the listeners understands about all the paper cuts we're doing. But, you know, I voted in the Congress of the House of Representatives in the state of California last night to set up treasury ways of receiving funding. Okay, so we're being recognized. What is it, 150 countries now in the world recognize us as the legitimate government?
It's 140 plus, yes.
140 plus. See, I love having a dialogue, because in dialogues you don't have to be perfect. You can actually get educated. So that's the purpose, is that through all of us speaking what we see and we believe that we're educating each other. And that figure, by the way, which is 140 this week, could change into 157 or 46 or whatever, because we're growing. And that's the thing to remember. There isn't a choice in the fall, okay? You don't have a choice. You really, 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 really don't. Because this sick piece of equipment has to go down. And I've got emails here, and as I said, once again, write me at val@wakingupinamerica.com, and I can forward that stuff to you. So paper cuts. When we signed the Declaration of Intention in Utah, November 14th at 11:52 in the evening, can you tell I was there? Representatives from all the United States, and so was this dude, too, except we wouldn't let him in the room.
Yeah, I was.
He had to stand outside the door. It was funny because, the House of Representatives is the House of Representatives, and we were just doing it, and the Vice President is actually the Vice President. You're Vice President of the Senate, right?
I am the Vice President of the Senate, which is kind of a precarious position to have because it's in title only. The main responsibility I have is, tie-breaking.
Yeah. So anyway, there we are. We did it. We totally did it. It was actually a unanimous vote. It was directed by God. If you've ever seen anything directed by God, usually by whether people call it God or not, usually people have seen one thing or two things in their lives that move so smoothly that you just knew perfection was present, and I call God perfection. So, whatever the best thing could be, it was there, and that's what happened. Even a committee of people processed the emotions of all of the people that had shown up there. I mean, we were in the snow in Utah, and it was 22 degrees, and we're in this old warehouse with, like, two porta potties. There was no food for quite a while. Actually, that's not entirely true, CW. We actually had little teeny Snicker bars. We didn't do it on alcohol, folks. We did it on a Snicker high. That's kind of funny. Yeah, we did the paperwork, and that's why we're giving them paper cuts. And, when you do the paperwork, and you happen to have perfection behind you because you've done the paperwork. A lot of people are very attracted to that, CW. Kind of like we're like the light on the porch, All the moths come and they try to bang into the light and they want to take over the light. I love all the ones that want to take over the light. Don't you find that funny?
There seems to be quite a few that want to. They can't set their egos aside and their power, thirst for power, aside and just concentrate on the rights of every person in America.
Well, all you have to do. We're in fires now. We're in the fire zone. So I was reading up a little bit on how fires work, right?
Fire zone. Like what you were saying earlier is a direct fire on our First Amendment right.
But what happens out of fire?
Chaos gets
hot. And then what happens?
People get burnt.
Keep going. People get burned, and then what happens? We're talking about the Constitution now. Don't go to the burning people. We can do five shows on that. It's horrible. I can smell them right now, and I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about our Constitution is burning up, okay?
Well, fire does one thing, and one thing only. It causes devastation and ruin. And that's what's taking place here. The only difference is, when you picture a physical fire, it's swift, it's fast, and it does its damage quickly. This has actually been going on for a while, Dr. Val, but it's just now we're starting to see it because we're starting to feel the heat.
We were saying earlier, it's like you can feel the floorboards are on fire, and we were talking about how we were like sniffing around and we'd smell the smoke, but now the boards are on fire.
Exactly.
So just notice your boards are on fire right now. You really have to pay attention because you can't go forward there, but there is another place that you can go. And what's interesting to me, and what you were talking about how this thing went through before, HR is House of Representatives. That's supposed to be the place where the people speak, right?
That's correct.
Okay, if that bill went through, I'm not that great on every little detail, but if that bill went through the House of Representatives, none of the people I know were there.
Well, the people that are there are the elected representatives.
But they're not elected anymore. See, that's the fallacy. The votes, you know, Tom, you know who Tom Hayden is?
I do know who Tom Hayden is.
He was married to Jane Fonda. I actually met her once, too. You know, I can understand why she was pissed at the U.S. I really can. So I don't hold Jane Fonda against Tom Hayden, and I met him about 5 or 6 years ago, and that's when he told me about depleted uranium. But he also told me about, because Topanga, we're a little hotbed up here, okay? You should come over and visit more. We're really pretty cool.
Wait a minute. You got depleted uranium where you're at, and you want me to
Do you know who Will Geer is?
Will Geer, yes.
Yeah, well, we have a theater, because Will Geer lived in Topanga, and his daughter, Ellen Geer, puts on the Theatricum Botanica here in the canyon. And we get some majorly cool people here. What's the name of that guy that was in Born on the 4th of July, the one that lost his legs?
Gary
Sinise. They made a movie out of him with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Gary Sinise.
Okay, whoever he played, that guy was here. And he was here with Tom Hayden.
No. Wait a minute. That wasn't Gary Sinise. That was Gary Sinise lost his legs in...
You're thinking of Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I am. You're right.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that guy, and his name escapes me, forgive me, that guy was here in his wheelchair, and Tom Hayden was with him. And because I do radio, I just always feel free to talk to everybody, and they're usually pretty free to talk to me, and we did. And that is when Tom Hayden told me about a folder. This was the first time I heard of this stuff. Maybe it was longer ago. And what he said was the folder was named Rob or Steel Georgia. I can't remember which one. It was literally how they just took the election away. One of the candidates that was supposed to win lost by some unbelievable figure, and all they did was manipulate the computers. That's why we went through all this thing where they wanted the ballotless, where they wanted the paperless computers and stuff. For elections. That was intentionally done, and so we were moved into that. And then now when I'm at Albuquerque, New Mexico, now they're into tagging people. So they're trying to scare the crap out of parents that their children are going to be kidnapped and that they all need this tracking device. Well, au contraire. I was horrified at the number of people lined up there to get their kids tagged.
When you say tagging, I'm picturing somebody running around with spray paint.
I'm talking about injecting under the surface of the skin identification numbers.
You're kidding me.
And birth certificate stuff and all of the vital information of that kid underneath the skin, like you would tag your dog. But by the way, which I actually refused, but you can't. Tagging's an automatic thing right now. Like if you get rescue pets, I know, I watched them. See where they tagged Sarah. And if I'm ever going over the border for any reason, I'm going to have the tag removed so that my dog and I can go on a vacation without being tracked.
Interesting.
So, you know, I I read a lot of books about the Nazis when I was in high school. And I remember saying, if this country ever got like Nazi Germany, I wouldn't stay. So, about 5 years ago, I told that to Jonathan Granoff, by the way, the guy that's head of the Global Security Institute, and he says,
right,
like heck you're not going anywhere. He said, you're sticking around here. You have a job to do. See, I wanted to be a runaway rather than a patriot.
No, you do have a job to do.
I do, and so I'm doing it today. I'm doing it today because I'm giving you thoughts to consider. The FBI and I really love each other, and I'm not doing anything illegal by how I set this thing up. I'm brilliant at it. I was trained for 20 years in public radio. It's like I'm here to help you be stimulated into dialogue. What C.W. Wright and I do in the world, you know, I was so proud of it when I thought about between the two of us. You know, the Golden Heart Foundation. Today I asked people that I'm helping some people in the field of DNR get on special lists and things like that because they're actually available, okay, under the right circumstances,
DNR.
Like if you've got a good history and stuff. Because of 25 years on the radio, I know people with good histories. And
you're
so they're
about
actually,
the Iraqi DNR.
Pardon? Yeah.
You're talking about the Iraqi did. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. What did I say?
Well, you said dinar, and the, you know,
oh, because you know the
dinar,
there's
other types of dinar.
Well, there's even more too. You know, there's like the Vietnamese dong, I think, is one of them. I think the Chinese yuan. I mean, if you're hearing this conversation globally, this thing was supposed to be happening today. I actually thought we were going to be able to announce it on the air. The thing is, it's a real thing that's happening, and whether it happens today or it happens next week, I mean, it's been happening today for at least 2-3 months now. So, just so that you know that. At the same time, I can. It's incredibly loud and very, very close. What can I tell you? I can smell the thing. And it's going to actually make it possible so that we can take these horrors in the world and we can actually do something with them, CW. It's like, I didn't call you first thing this morning. Usually you and I connect in the morning and find out what we're going to pull off during the day. But I was reading the new National Geographic. Well, I don't know, new. It's January 1 on twins. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Well, it's totally fascinating. I picked up the book to read the article on twins because my mom's a twin. Come to find out, you know, that we're special, but we're not quite as unique as we think we are because there's something going on, and the article on twins was fascinating, actually. But the most fascinating part was the two boy twins that had been separated at birth. Did I mention this to you already?
No.
Okay, so the two boy twins that had been separated at birth both ended up being named by their parents, separate parents with the same first name. What are the odds of that? Okay, then they both, living separately, they both like the same kind of beer and something else, and they both have two marriages, and in both marriages they married a woman that had the same first name, and in the second marriage they did the same thing. How does that work?
That's interesting. How does that work?
I don't know, but it means to me when I read something like that, that everything we think is obvious isn't necessarily obvious. It's like, if we could catch on fire today, CW, and we could burn, and our burning took the form. See, you know, there's a part of me, you know, I was trained, I'm a good shot with a .22. I have never done much pistol work, but in my junior high school, we actually had rifle practice. And by the way, I was the best. Can you even imagine that? They'd have me, if I even walked in the school and said anything like that, they'd have me in handcuffs and down in Guantanamo or something for the rest of my life. In the 1950s, it was what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we did was we created a nation of people that weren't afraid to protect themselves.
Weren't you like the top shot in your class?
Yeah. I even have the certificate still.
No way.
Uh-huh. And so, believe me, there are times.
Put that up on the website for everybody to see.
You know what? I could do that. I actually am organizing my photographs for Kodak moments in my life. And by God, I've really done well. And I didn't even have photographs of half of them. So I've lived a life to experience the extraordinary moment. And we have an extraordinary moment here, CW, where I know how you stand up. And maybe you could tell people a little bit about what Emergency Management Solutions has done in the world, because that's how you catch fire, is with that company.
I would love to do that, but first I got to get over the part. I'm just thinking about how much we missed of getting recorded before the camera was invented in your life, of the things you've done. You know, all that didn't get recorded, or pictures weren't taken then.
Yeah, the only pictures that are left are in my mind. This is why I love Protandin so much. Well, one of the reasons. Protandin is actually kind of saving my mind, but I'll tell you what else saves my mind. And by the way, if you're interested in Protandin or any of the other products that we use, go over to our website at wakingupinamerica.com. Protandin is on the right side of the page, and that product gets me in trouble. I was always telling everybody, CW, that I was playing racquetball. Right now I can't play racquetball because I slipped on a rock when I was moving trash cans around, and I bruised my tailbone. And you know what I'm doing, actually? I'm now taking Protandin twice a day.
Did you get out your ice pack from your emergency kit?
I did.
EMS
I actually did. Yeah.
Okay.
I have one of his kits in my car, folks.
Yep. See, it's that's the neat thing about the EMS Global kit. I mean, it's good for everything. You don't have to save it for, you know, an earthquake or a hurricane or something like that, because you have food and water in it. It's got a comprehensive first aid kit in it, too, and people use that a lot more often than anything. And you know what they use?
The little blankets, too.
The little blankets and the food that's in there. Mamas, soccer moms, love the food in those kits. They get stranded on the highway, and they remember they got a little bit of food in those kits. They break out those little cookie-style bars. They taste like it's got a pie crust texture with a coconut cookie taste. They break that out. The kids are totally satisfied. They're munching on those bars. In fact, they always come back, "Mommy, I want more." So when they go to refurbish their kits, all the moms say, "Send me extra food bars." Put in the kit.
Well, I've got a new food bar for you that's through Vitacost that I will tell you this off the air because I want you to profit off it, okay?
Okay.
Because these little, I already sampled some of them, and they're absolutely terrific. And I'm not even going to tell anybody. You'll have to write and ask us because I'm going to have him put them in the emergency kits. And you know what else has been showing up, CW, which I think people should be aware of? The radiation readings after Fukushima, they're really still pretty high over here. And a lot of people are actually taking iodine, and I was thinking maybe we could put a small bottle of iodine in the kits, too, because what I discovered was that most people are iodine deficient anyway. What do you think of that?
I think it's awesome. Do you have it planned out? Is it done yet?
Pardon?
Is it done yet?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I was asking if it was done yet, because you've got this plan together.
Well, who knows where my brain went on that question. I've been thinking in terms of what would make the kit that I carry in my car the most valuable thing available, okay? You and I were talking about blankets of different colors the other day that would let people know.
Right.
You know, these could maybe be accessories.
Now you're talking about triage. We were talking about triage because there's different colors in the triage process.
Yes.
Red, green, and yellow. And we were talking about having a blanket for each triage situation. And I was mentioning on the surface, I don't mind having the triage colors, but as a blanket, I was fearful people would get them mixed up. You throw a blanket at somebody and...
blanket over somebody that's in very good health.
That would be a very bad thing.
Okay, I have an idea that will rest your mind on this one. I had not thought of that, but the idea that comes is what we do is we create a basic emergency kit, okay? But
okay.
We let people know what kind of accessories are available. And my son is an EMT. He wouldn't be throwing the wrong color blankets around. But it would be handy to him to be able to order them.
Well, they're not going to use color blankets. The first responders may have a triage system, or commonly they all carry triage tags.
What does triage mean, by the way? I don't know what that means.
Triage is when you go out and you're looking at the victims and you're deciding which one needs to be serviced first. And that's the
reason. So it's an evaluation thing. A triage is an evaluation?
Evaluation is exactly what it is. You remember the old TV series MASH?
I did.
Remember, lots of times they say, they'll ask where a doctor is, and they'll say, well, he's in triage.
I never knew what that meant all these years.
What they're doing, that doctor's in there triaging or evaluating the people that has come in off the line to see which ones need attention first. Now, in those situations, there's a lot of people that need attention first. And that's where your great doctors really learned their stuff, was during those times servicing. Because they had to be quick, they had to be fast, because those that are bleeding profusely, their lives were literally hanging in the balance second by second. And, I think about the doctors, our medical doctors in the armed services, and I just praise them for the work that they've done.
I am so rude because I was listening to you, but you know what you set off with me with MASH?
What'd I do?
What you set off with me was I wanted Ellen Alda on the show, and I started thinking about Hawkeye. And then I remembered that Mike Farrell, actually, who played the other guy? Wasn't Potter? Was it was his friend, the other one. Mike Farrell played him, okay, in MASH.
BJ.
Hawkeye's best friend. Anyway, Hawkeye's best friend is a best friend of Dennis Weaver's. And Dennis Weaver is a thing of ecology, and I'm thinking the last time I talked to Mike Farrell was like years ago, and what he was trying to do was to get people in prisons to go away from the death sentence. That was his thing. He said too many people have been wrongly killed, and he said it's the wrong message, you know, for a mentality. But maybe we could get Hawkeye, and maybe we could get Mike, because they would say that those programs that they made, those MASH programs, while they were courageous, they were horrifying.
Yes, they were.
War is courageous. It brings out the absolute best in you. I'm willing to give my life for you, CW, and mean it. At the same time, if I'm willing to give my energy and I'm willing to give my direction and I'm willing to give my belief, even when things get hard, might that be not less bloody in the long run?
Right.
If we could take all of these soldiers that have had their souls and their guts ripped out by what they've been asked to do, men, women, children, and alike, and actually have them not just be peacekeepers, but have them be the restorers of the planet. I was looking at that other thing I started to mention to you in National Geographic. Oh, my God, this magazine is like the one I would be... If they asked you what magazine you would take with you, the only magazine that you would take with you to a desert island, it would be the National Geographic. That'd be my first choice. Because in here I can get across of everything. There's some great twins in here, too. You should pick up the article. It's January.
I'd want a magazine that was printed on very thin, soft paper.
Well, let me tell you what's not thin or soft about what's coming up next. What was coming up was the landmines that have been planted around the world. Do you have any idea about that? I mean, that was Diana's thing, too. Princess Diana?
Yeah, it was. I think
what do you know about the landmines, CW?
Well, there's so many still out there, nobody even knows where they are. Some of them's been out there way before World War II. We can go back to World War I for some of these. And they're just so dangerous, especially in the country of Africa, where we seem to see most of the damage taking place. You have children today still losing limbs over old landmines. And it would, when Diana took up that call, and she really put it back on the map, and thank God for the most part it stayed there, because it needs our attention. It needs the attention of every living person on this planet to look and get rid of it, or put an effort together and get rid of it, these landmines. And it's not going to be any easier task, because you almost have to go through the entire country. Or that
you do. You have to go through the entire country inch by inch, okay? Okay, do you want
to
know which who has the most landmines in the whole entire world?
I thought it was Africa. Is it not Africa?
Well, they have the most. You're right on the sense. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well, Africa's
7,
a nation,
9,
and
10,
not
11,
a
12,
country.
13, 14.
You saying
it, Africa's got 20 hot spots on it that show where landmines are. Okay, all the way from Somalia to. It's a little hard to read. Angola to
Ethiopia,
Burundi to the Sudan, to Chad, to the Niger, to Algeria, to Western Sahara, Senegal, so on and so forth. It's like it has chicken pox, okay, when you look at the map. And the circles in the map actually represent that between the years of 1999 and 2010, to even have a little dot on the map, 100 people have to have been destroyed or mutilated in that zone for it to even show up as a red dot, okay? So, the people that we have most successfully destroyed and mutilated in the whole world begins with an A. What do you think that country is?
Afghanistan.
You got it. 14,139 people have lost their lives or their limbs from landmines in Afghanistan. It's twice as big. It's almost twice as big. What do you think the next one is?
Would it be Pakistan?
No. Excuse me, a little cough there. Cambodia.
Iraq?
Cambodia. 7,830. And this is only up to 2010, okay?
I was going to say, now this is through 2010. Then when did they start keeping track of that?
Well, this particular map in the January National Geographic represents 1999 to 2010. They've been talking about it for years, but I don't have the earlier figures on it. Okay, the next is, hey, let me just get a little more horror on the picture here. Why do you think India is, like, right maybe in the upper five?
Well, they're not that far from Afghanistan, are they?
Yeah, they're also, their spiritual centers are being taken out, okay? You take up Cambodia, Afghanistan, Iraq. Iraq was actually part of the Holy Land.
Right.
Remember when I mentioned depleted uranium earlier?
Yes.
That's the destruction of the depleted uranium was brought in to destroy spirituality of the Holy Land. You've got, in Cambodia, you've got those temples that date back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They're the holy elements. It's like watching Avatar and watching those buggers go after the tree to take down the tree in Avatar. Did you see that?
I did.
Okay. That's the spirituality of the people. So what you look at on this map, you know, let's see. What's in Peru? When you think of Peru, what do you think of in Peru?
I think of South America living.
I think of Machu Picchu. Another spiritual center. Okay, that's another little, that one's only a little blip. There's, I don't know what's in Nicaragua. So in the Western Hemisphere, we have, our landmines are in Nicaragua, Colombia, and Peru.
Okay.
In the point that I'm getting is that these things that are being targeted, they're being targeted for permanent damage. They're being targeted for destruction. As you know, I'm very fond of what Suzanne has done with the Hunger Games series.
Yes, you've been very vocal on this.
Well, I got finished, okay, and the costs of war are apparent, okay? I finished it off. PETA, and I'll let you know, PETA and Katniss, they do survive. I won't tell you the ending on it, but I will tell you that the ending leaves a lot of room for possibility. And here is my challenge to Suzanne Collins. Suzanne, I know you're listening somewhere. I challenge you to have them become effective in a republic. That's what I challenge Suzanne Collins to do. So I think we should set up a meeting with Suzanne Collins so that she can actually be part of the team that verifies those things. I don't have all the pictures of it. Let's make sure we have all the pictures of this. And by the way, I have a lot of pictures of the beginning of the republic when we were down in the Citrus Cafe. I've got pictures of Leonard Spade signing up. I've got pictures of you sitting there. I've got this thing chronicled, not to the degree that I would have liked to have had because I've run out of energy from time to time, but I've definitely got more than most. And I think that we can turn this into something really real that's way richer than what's being offered for, gee whiz, November of 2012. Let me vote. Let me see what of my five liberties that I still have left. Gosh, who would take the best care of those?
Do you have liberties left that haven't been enforced?
Well, you have a liberty left. If the Secret Service isn't there, you can still curse the president. Unless the electronic bug that's in your television set or your microwave picks it up and you say it three times, then they know you're a terrorist. Oh, we didn't even talk about my friend Monty yet, did we?
We did not. But before we go there, it's important you know that this bill includes threats to the president. And these threats are loosely interpreted. So you need to be careful on what you're saying now, because even if you say something derogatory that they can spin as a threat, then you fall under that law and you can be detained.
Maybe that's why I really got the FBI over at my house last year. You know what happened, right?
I do.
Okay, but here's what, when you were just saying what you were just saying and the fact that this thing has been around longer than I thought.
That's correct.
I'm trying to think of his name. The attorney, the really good attorney, begins with a B. Anyway, he wrote a book called something like Sentencing George Bush for Murder, The Trial of George Bush for Murder, Bugliosi. He wrote that book, and I interview people that write books. So I put that in an email, and my email got shut down for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Well, it was because they thought I was threatening the president. And then they turned it back on again when they realized it was a book title.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
That's what I thought. That's why I told that story, because I think it backs it up. I did an innocent thing. Yeah, not entirely innocent. I wouldn't have interviewed the person if I didn't think they had something to say. But I wasn't saying anything other than a book title.
You know, some of this stuff that we're seeing through the Patriot Act and executive orders, it's giving our law enforcement a tremendous amount more power than what they've had in the past. In fact, you were just mentioning a young man.
I was. I truly was. I have a dear friend, Monty, okay? And Monty can be any man who's in the Republican and has guts and courage and, you know, walks his talk. And one of the things that people may or may not know, CW, is that if they're not driving a commercial vehicle, they're not actually required to be licensed or to, to have their car registered. So it is true, but it's not too many people are educated about it. So last year, Monty got a ticket for driving around without a license and stuff, and we have all of our little legal things we do inside of the Republic, but we're a little bit outnumbered currently by the forces that be. So I guess it was probably about a week ago or something of that nature. I'm not sure what you got on it, CW. But he comes home. He pulls into his driveway, and somebody comes over and tells him that are arresting them, and he asks why, and they won't say anything. So he gets back in his car. He wants to get away. This is the way I understood it. And they taser him 3 times. And he ends up in jail and stuff without even ever knowing why he's even going to jail. And then he's booked. He's booked with is resisting arrest.
That
threw me over the top today when I heard that I don't give a darn on if it was a 500-mile-an-hour speeding ticket or not, coming over to somebody's house and arresting them without any legality to it.
Yeah.
It just shows me how bold they're getting.
They're getting bold, and you need to understand your rights here when stuff like this happens. First thing I'd want to know, was he given a presentment?
He was not given a presentment.
So there was no grand jury indictment. There was no, I just went brain dead.
I'm blowing on your brain to wake it up.
I know. Yeah, please listen to me. I like that. There was no arrest warrant of any kind.
No, nothing. They wouldn't even tell him.
Okay. Well, okay, you're already in trouble because you're dealing with a cop that isn't handling, a law enforcement officer who's not handling things properly.
But how did a law enforcement officer ever even get the request to go pick up this dude in the first place? Yeah, I know we have some people
They have to have some sort of presentment in order to pick somebody up. They just can't go plucking people off the street.
But that's exactly what they did.
Unless, there is one other thing, unless there was probable cause. Now,
is a ticket
this.
Probable cause?
No, well, the probable cause was getting back in your car without saying the magic words.
Which are?
The magic words, and I want everybody to listen to this carefully. The magic words are to the police officer, are you detaining me or am I free to go?
Oh, this is powerful.
This is extremely powerful.
Are you detaining me, or am I free to go? Kind of like being in court. You know, they don't know about being in court. If you say in court that you're confused and you don't really understand what's going on, that's more gold. Wow, we should make a dictionary of powerful words, CW.
Well, these, you know, we didn't invent these. I mean, this is stuff that's been people or other knowledgeable people trying to get people educated on, and I've never gotten around to doing a series on this. But when you know, if the police officer comes up and says, you know, I want to search your car, always be polite. You know, I've said this a million times. Never, ever, ever argue with a law enforcement on the side of the road. You will lose every single time.
It's designed that way.
It's designed that way. Remain super calm. Be respectful. Put your emotions aside, because if you let your ego and emotions get in the way, you will lose every time.
And you may even lose dead, because
they'll consider
it some form of provocation.
They got a gun!
What?
They got a gun! I don't want to mess with that!
Exactly! And they have that other little wooden stick as well, sir.
But there's a proper way. So when you say, can I search your vehicle? Magic words again. I do not consent to searches, officer. In that tone of voice, calm, cool, and collected. And you also have the right not to say a thing. Remain silent. In some cases, that's the best thing, because if you feel getting agitated, just shut up and say nothing.
Well,
say
I do. You know what I do? What I do say that seems always good. I always thank them for whatever they're doing. I said, "Oh well, thank you for letting me know that." Or
yeah,
because I, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but thank you.
Look, a lot of law enforcement has a tough job. You know, basically, every time they pull somebody over, they really have their life on the line, because there's some silly people out there. But because they've generated this hard exterior out of survival, wanting to survive. They treat everybody that way, which is a huge mistake, because there's a lot of great people out there, a lot of very nice, respectful people that support law enforcement, that you're just going to end up ticking off that citizen, that person who truly respects law enforcement. You're going to change their attitude. So it's really a catch-20. Well, it's not really a catch-20.
A catch-20?
I sort of say, Kevin,
what happened to the other two? Where did they go?
Yeah. The other two are tied up with somebody's ego and emotion. And you know,
they were missing. Yeah.
They have egos and emotions too. And the best
come on.
Way for you. They got egos and emotions backed by gun and badge. And they too can be put in check just by being nice. And you demonstrating that you do know your rights. You don't have to yell at an officer and say, I know my rights, because they're going to think they got somebody that's really violent here. Let me offer the other side of this, CW. You got rights.
Because what I get stopped for speeding from time to time. It's usually when I'm really happy about something. And so I'll be, like, over the limit, right?
Okay.
And those can be nasty tickets. It's happened about 3 or 4 times. And 100% of those 3 or 4 times, I never got tagged for the limit. And part of it is because of the way you're talking. But part of it is that I just am real with the officer, and I don't see them as my enemy. I see them actually as my friend. And I talk to them as though they're my friends. I don't know if you've been through something like this before, but, you know, the last ticket, the time I got pulled over, I said, I have a serious condition, officer. I was experiencing a state of euphoria. And I wasn't paying attention to how fast I was going.
I kind of feel we've gotten off track a little bit. But, you know,
no, there's not enough track, because what it is that if you treat them as friends and you are light about it, what I end up getting, I have so many seatbelt tickets, you can't believe it. Do you know what those are?
You still have a valid license to operate a vehicle, moving vehicle.
Not only that, my driving record is perfect.
But yet
because they give me seatbelt tickets. Are you getting this?
And so you get a seatbelt ticket.
That's all they give me. I didn't have any. You know how broke I was last year, okay? So I was taught, I was stopped for speeding, for no registration, because I couldn't afford it last year, and no insurance on my car.
Mm-hmm.
I have all those things now, but last year I didn't have them, and I needed to go somewhere, and I
right.
needed to get back, and I got yeah. stopped for speeding, and I just started talking to the guy and saying, you got me, you know, I was suffering from euphoria. I was. Somebody had just paid me $200, and I actually had money to buy gas, you know, and
right.
food and stuff like that. So I was very euphoric. And he goes, and he comes back, and he goes, your driving record is perfect except for seatbelt. And he goes, you know, he says, I don't have a classification for euphoria here. How would you like another seatbelt ticket? They don't want to hurt you. Their job isn't to hurt you. They're as stressed out as you are.
Right, they are.
They're inside a collapsing system, and if
yeah.
you give them crap, they'll have a reason to fight back, and if you give them love, they're very capable of love. I have the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics, and I am not going to read all four verses CW in case you are wincing, okay? But Law Enforcement Officer's Code of Ethics. As a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence and disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men and women to liberty, equality, and justice. That's their oath of office. Do you think they're not in conflict? Do you think they're not stressed out of their gills at the crap that they're being asked to enforce? And then don't you think there's just a few nuts scattered in there that delight in it?
Oh, absolutely. On both sides.
You know, and it's those nuts that show up in my friend Marty's driveway and TSA people that have gone way too far. We're being provoked. So let's respond. Let's not vote for the de facto elections.
And what about Steve Colton?
Now, what about Steve Colton? I've got a friend, Steve Colton. It breaks my heart. I'm glad you brought him up, and sorry you did, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Steve Colton spent his life taking care of little doggies. He's gotten
yeah.
over 4,000 little doggies a home. And I'm not going to tell you the whole sad story, because it's been there. We've done it on the radio before. But basically, a lady in the Lancaster dog center decided he had too many dogs at his house part of the time, and has made it her personal vendetta to make this man's life miserable. He's now been in jail, kicked out of the VA where he was getting cancer treatment. His crime, taking care of little doggies. That's Steve Colton. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm bringing people in the Golden Heart Foundation and other foundations together. I've told people, by the way, I didn't tell you this, CW. I said, you know, when you guys all get rich, I am asking you to contribute to the Golden Hearts Foundation, which is a foundation that will actually be funding all foundations that need money.
Right.
What about that? So we don't have to worry, because when I look at the kids that need cleft palate stuff, they want to send me an email or you an email, we'll send them money and we'll take care of 10,000 kids that need cleft palates repaired. Because that's the Golden Hearts Foundation is a combination of human beings that have given their lives, their wealth, and their liberty so that we can have this planet back again and something that we're proud of. There. Oh, my. There you go. Thank you very much to our team at Voice America and to Sir Jason Leonard T, which you're going to put in all the emergency kits. That's Bent Miguen's music playing. I wanted to make sure that you got a chance to hear it. We blab over it so much. But hopefully your heart, hopefully there's a fire that caught today. Do a mitzvah for yourself and for somebody that you love and respect, and just stand up and get on fire about something. Burn, baby, burn.
You're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through. Now your heart is...